We saw a New Scientist that a blood test now can reveal how quickly or slowly you are aging. It's not available yet to you or me, and it's been developed at Columbia University in New York, but it used New Zealanders. It used the blood of people from the famous Dunedin study. The Dunedin Multidisciplinary Health and Development Study at the University of Otago has been going for nearly half a century, following people born in 1972 and 73, as you probably know. 1,037 of them were still participating in it at last count, which makes it a very fertile source of ongoing data. And their contribution on this could be major. In charge of the study for the last 15 years has been Professor Richie Poulton. Good morning.
Kia ora, Jim.
Kia ora, nice to have your company on this. This is quite exciting, this collaboration with Columbia University, isn't it?
Yes, well, the lead author, Dan Belsky, has worked for a long time with the wider Dunedin study group, and he's recently taken up that Columbia position as he sort of is advancing his career. So we're well known to each other, most of the players in this consortium, and have worked together for quite some time. And this particular paper describes a quite a novel thing. It's a simple blood test in which we are able to tell the rate that people are aging. Not just their chronological age, but the actual rate at which they are aging. The rate's very important. If you're in the fast lane when it comes to aging, that's not a good place to be. You want to ideally be in the slow lane.
Yes, we can understand that. So it tells us whether you and I are aging as we should, or faster or slower?
Yes. Most of us age 1 year for every chronological year that we live. But some people age much faster than that 1 year, and some are fortunate for whatever reason, they seem to be aging at a much slower rate. So for every year that passes, every calendar year that passes, they may have only aged 8 months.
So it tells us if we're travelling too fast. Does it also point the way towards what conditions we may be suffering from if we keep going too fast?
Yes, well, what's pretty well settled among scientists is that aging per se, the process of aging, is one of the most consistent risk factors for the development of a whole bunch of what are called non-communicable diseases. That's the stuff people are most worried about today. It's things like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, and the like. And if you're aging too quickly, your chances of ending up with a diagnosis of one or more of those problems, which of course can be very life-threatening, is increased. So we're not trying to understand the basis of cancer or cardiovascular disease. We're trying to understand the process that sits below it, which is the rate of aging, or deterioration in multiple organ systems. That's more the definition of what the aging process involves. And multiple organ systems tend to degrade at typical rates or faster. That's the greatest concern. Those people that are, they might be 50, but biologically they're actually 60 or 65. And the other ones you can expect to end up using hospitals a lot more, developing, sadly, chronic diseases and maybe dying earlier than you would normally expect.
Just to clarify, because there are even tests you can do, supposedly, online to, find out if you're older than you really are. It's different, this technique, from what they call epigenetic clocks that assess gene expression to determine biological age. They kind of look at what shape you're in based on how you've come. But this blood test tells you how you're going on the journey, as it were.
That's right. So if you were to take one of these tests, they'll tell you whether you're actually pretty much that, or whether you're 5 or 10 years older. But they won't tell you anything about how fast you're aging at that point. That's the key factor. Not that you're maybe a few years older than your chronological age. You want to know whether you're actually on a, as I talked about earlier, in the fast lane, that you're really speeding ahead. We're probably similar generation. I'm 57. I know, because I was a silly person early in my life and smoked, I know that I'm probably biologically a little bit older. And so whoop-de-doo, if I'm not going to spend $500 on getting a test to say that. I do want to know, though, whether I'm on a trajectory that suggests that I'm at a serious risk, because I'm aging much, much quicker than I should be.
And it's a single blood test that measures, what, chemical tags on the DNA with the different health markers?
Yeah, and so that's what epigenetics, the field of epigenetics is all about. So there's DNA, and depending on the life experiences people have, some of those genes can be turned off or turned on, depending on the type of gene and the type of life experience. It's like a switch. So some genes are silenced, some are ratcheted up in terms of their activity. So we're looking for those sorts of changes in the human genome. That's might like the clocks to that degree. But we've managed to figure out what the picture looks like in terms of those switches if it is to be related to the pace of aging or the rate of age, not just establishing how old you are at a particular moment in time. So the best analogy is literally a clock. So if you look at the clock face, you know, you're at 9 p.m. at night, you might be 60 years old at that point, but you really want to know the information that comes from looking at the speedometer. If you're going really, really fast, that tells you a lot more in terms of the immediacy or urgency with which you should adopt some lifestyle changes, that you might want to avail yourself of the anti-aging type approaches that are coming on stream, things like calorie restriction that's shown to slow the aging process, and all the normal healthy lifestyle advice that's out there. It will be some time, I think, before it becomes commercialised. And, you know, we're academics. We're not into the game of commercialisation. That's quite an expensive and involved process. If the findings are replicated and in different cohorts, different ages, and it becomes a pretty well-regarded, what we call algorithm or way of measuring the rate of ageing, then it is likely to be commercialised.
We'll all be interested in going to the GP and having him or her send a blood sample to lab tests and be told what our chances are and what speed we're going at. You would think this has enormous commercial possibilities, actually.
Yeah, based on what I've seen, you know, using the 23andMe as the example, I think it's odds on that it will get picked up. And then once it's available, I think, yeah, there'll be widespread use, and it'll probably be consumer-driven. People will be going along to the GP and saying, I want one of those.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Just not to get too technical, because you know stuff that would baffle most of us, but the researchers have confirmed that the DNA markers you're talking about revealed in the blood, that they correspond to deficits in coordination, cognition, loss of balance, and so on. This all kind of ties in. They've corresponded these.
Yeah, so the first thing you need to do if you develop a test that you think tells you something about the pace of ageing is to compare it against an established measure of pace of ageing, which we did. We published the first version of a measure that can be applied in young adulthood, where we actually followed people over 12 years and measured them three times and 18 physiological measures, traditional measures like blood pressure and cholesterol, but also some non-traditional and novel biomarkers that are meant to tell you about the state or function of, say, the kidneys, the endocrine system, as well as the cardiovascular and pulmonary system. So we had 18 biomarkers measured three times across a 12-year period, and we showed that the range of age by the time our group in Dunedin were 38, their range of biological age, they're all at age 38 because it's a single-year cohort, went from 28 to 61,
Gee.
Which is quite remarkable. So we validated this blood measure against that more robust, well, not more robust, it's established at least, measure of people through time. But of course, we didn't have to wait 12 years for this. We just took some blood. And yes, it correlated well with that particular measure. But then we looked at whether the new measure predicted things that matter in the real world. That is, whether your cognition, or ability to think and cognitively process the world, was reducing at a rate faster than normal, whether your physical capacities were aging faster than you would like, things like balance and strength, whether you looked, when you were rated by strangers, to be older, you know, just surface impressions. And this algorithm not only predicted these things, it actually did better than the original measure that we developed using 12 years worth of data. So it looks like it's actually an improvement in some ways on the more involved, time-consuming approach. So that was a nice aspect of the findings.
That's fantastic research, and what a game changer. Congratulations on it.
Thanks, Jim. It's I mean, every time I do one of our assessments and there's a new study, I'm excited about what will come. I never quite know, to be honest, what the discovery will be. I think this is, and I'm quite conservative when I call something a discovery, a true discovery, but I think this is. And I think it will reverberate initially through the world of science, but as you quite rightly point out, it's got the potential to become part of everyday life at some point down the track.
It sure does. Very good of you to give us your time to talk about it today, too. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Professor Richie Poulton.